I am Sid Wolf as of, a few weeks ago. So I just want to introduce you to my little family. This is my husband, Grayson, and one of the few pictures that we got from our wedding. And then over here is our sweet little sugar. She's just, she's the love of my life, but sadly once Grayson moved in, she picked somebody else to be her favorite. So she's always on Grayson's lap, but I'm glad that they can get along with each other. I'm so excited to be continuing in our topic that we've started 2 weeks ago. When we first started, we talked about a disciple is one that loves others, and then we talked about a disciple is one that has faith. But tonight we're going to be jumping into something that Rule actually already hit on, and that is a disciple is one who forgives others. So as a refresher, I want to go over what a disciple is. So the dictionary definition defines a disciple as a follower or student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. But in our context, a disciple is a dedicated follower of Christ who trusts him, lives for him, and leads others to him. And before we get into the passage that we're going to land in tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. So if you know me well, you would know that I'm a pretty stubborn person. I like to be right, and it's pretty hard for me to deal with the moments when I'm wrong. I struggle to tell people that I'm sorry, or I battle with not holding people to their past actions. And for a Christian that's called to forgive others, I struggle to know how to do that in my own heart. And a person that I truly didn't know how to forgive coming to college was my stepdad. He was very verbally abusive to my family growing up, and then throughout many times in college, we really just didn't see eye to eye. And this proved to be a huge struggle for me to push past the actions to live in forgiveness of him and to begin to form a new relationship with him. So now that you guys know a little story about me and forgiveness, let's go ahead and jump into the passage that we're going to be in. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, to the parable of the unforgiving servant. If you don't have a Bible, you can just look up behind me. We're going to be starting in verse 21, which reads, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times.' Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged. 'I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged to him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So I really want to be able to hit on 3 points that we see in this passage tonight. One is God's vision for forgiveness. 2 is our response to conflict. And 3, the consequences of our unforgiveness. So let's look into our first point in the passage. So it reads, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay that debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. This really is a reflection of God's forgiveness and mercy on his people. The large sum of gold that is owed to the king is much like what we owe to our Heavenly Father due to our sins. However, the king has a really unexpected response to the servant's begging, and he cancels all the debt that he owed to him. Which this is a perfect example of what Christ does for us and his people later on the cross. And the next section reads, but when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay that debt. Right here, we see hypocrisy on this first servant. The servant that was forgiven a mass amount of money from the kings, because if we remember, he had to be forgiven all for gold, goes to another servant and doesn't forgive him for far less. What we also see in the section is that the second servant's response is identical to the first servant's response to the king when he says, be patient with me. And much like the servant, many of us have been quick to not forgive others as we have already been forgiven by Jesus. So our last point, Jesus says, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So the first servant was called back in to see the king, where he was exposed for his unforgiving heart and forced to pay for his actions and his debt. And in this section, what is really hitting on, and I don't want you guys to miss, is that if we don't forgive others, we are essentially rejecting the forgiveness that we have already received from God. So, how do we as disciples begin to have a posture of forgiveness? And I'm glad that you asked. So, 1, we want to follow Christ's example for modeling the forgiveness that we should give. He gives forgiveness for our sins, and then we should be able to do that for others. Pray about those broken relationships. Have faith that the Lord will soften not only your heart, but the heart of the person that you're trying to forgive. And trust in the importance of forgiveness. So now that we know these things, let's look at how we can actually engage in steps of forgiving somebody else. So 1, remember the importance. Forgiveness is commanded by God. And in Matthew 6:14 through 15, Jesus says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. 2, acknowledge your feelings. Allow yourself to bring your hardships to God. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So take your feelings of hurt to God. Allow him to heal you before you extend out that forgiveness. 3, make a choice. Forgiveness is a choice and not a feeling. It requires a decision to let go of anger, bitterness, or desire for revenge. You may not feel like forgiving, but choosing to do so releases an emotional bondage. Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." 4, wisdom to guard your heart. Forgiveness does not just delete the memory. And it doesn't always mean that we're going to forget the offense that has happened against us or that we should act if nothing has happened. Forgiveness means no longer holding that offense against that person. But also have wisdom to form boundaries in your life that will foster a new and better relationship. 5, proper heart posture. Jesus emphasizes that this act must come from your heart in Matthew 18:35. It's not just about saying words. And if you're struggling with it being genuine, ask God to soften your heart and help you release that pain. Sometimes praying for that person that wronged you can also lead you into the path of forgiveness. 6, trust in God's timing. Forgiveness may not always happen all at once. Like Jesus said in our passage, it may take up to 77 times. But trust that God is working in you to help you let go of the pain at his pace. Seventh, seek reconciliation. Reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relationships, which makes it a bit different from forgiveness. Forgiving someone doesn't automatically mean that your guys' relationship will be reconciled, and that depends on both parties' willingness to restore that relationship. And then lastly, reflection. Forgive the way God has forgiven you. Reflecting on the immense forgiveness we receive through Jesus Christ helps put our own need into perspective. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." So for me, I had to push back a lot of former hurt and stubbornness when it came to my stepdad. But I choose to forgive him and let my heart be free of that burden that I was carrying with him. And without that, I wouldn't be where I am right now, nor would I truly understand the forgiveness that is lavished upon us by our Father. So do me a favor, grab your journal or a piece of paper or something to write with, and I'm going to give you guys a few minutes to answer these questions behind me, and then I will close in prayer. Is there someone you need to ask God to help you forgive? How can you begin to cultivate a heart of forgiveness like God? And how can you take a new step in faith as a disciple of Jesus, knowing that you are fully forgiven? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for who you are and the forgiveness that you've lavished upon us. Thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross to forgive our sins. I pray that this week we continue to reflect on what you have done for us, that we may be able to take a step of faith in forgiving somebody that has burdened us, who has hurt us. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to work on not only our hearts, but the hearts of those that we need to forgive. I pray this all in your name. Amen.